Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we're going to discuss a very hot topic. What did Jesus mean when he said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again"? What in the world did Jesus mean? Now, this idea of being born again, for some of you listening, you may say, well, it's a very natural statement. You understand it. It doesn't offend you. It doesn't confuse you. It makes sense to you. A person, in order to enter the kingdom of God, must first be born again. But there are other people, maybe some listening right now, certainly people who really get offended when they hear that statement, "You must be born again." In fact, you've probably heard people say, "Oh, you Christians are just a bunch of born agains," you know, a bunch of Bible thumping born again people. The term phraseology, "You must be born again," really, I think it creates a lot of division. Again, there are, you know, evangelicals, Bible believing evangelicals, who stand strong on Jesus' statement, "You must be born again." But there are a lot of other people who claim to be evangelicals, people who claim to be Christians, and even those people who don't claim to be Christians who are totally against that statement, "You must be born again." They think it's something weird. They think it's something crazy. In fact, I was one of those people back before the Lord and his grace saved me, back before I was born again. I remember I was in my early 20s and I was out at a restaurant with a young lady and we were having dinner. And I tell you, very attractive young lady, great personality. We seemed to be getting along very well. This was our first date out. And things were going so well until she said to me, "Andrew, I just want you to know that I am a born again Christian." And I have to tell you something. I felt this like this heat wave go up into my brain. And I started thinking, am I going to catch that disease of hers? You know, I'm thinking, this is crazy. I said, I cannot believe she's one of those born again people. This was all going on in my mind. You know, it felt like it was lasting for 15, 20 minutes. I was having this internal conversation. It actually was only a split second, but nevertheless, I panicked. And I panicked so much that I excused myself, went to the restroom. Actually, I didn't have to go to the restroom. I just went towards the restroom, found the waiter, paid our bill even before the food came, made him pack the food. He delivered it to the table as soon as I got back from the bathroom. The poor girl was stunned. She's like, "What's this food doing in the box?" I said, "It's time for us to leave." Didn't speak to her the whole way home. Dropped her off in the driveway, got out of the car, opened her door, gave her her box of food, and I never saw this girl again. I cannot believe I was so foolish. Why? I thought I was going to catch some sort of disease from her, maybe like something like leprosy or something, because she was one of those born again Christians. It's shameful for me to admit this, but I've got to be real. I've got to be real. So believe me when I tell you there are many people who are currently today, like I was in my early 20s, when they hear that terminology born again, it creates all kinds of fear and anxiety in them. The funny part was, a few years later, I became one of those born again Christians. And I wonder if that girl like ever heard one of my radio shows or saw me on video or anything like that preaching. She would be shaking her head if she knew that I was born again. But anyways, back to our topic. This idea of being born again is very biblical. In fact, we find Jesus making that very strong statement in John chapter 3, John's Gospel, third chapter, where Jesus is having a conversation with a man by the name of Nicodemus. And we can just pick it up right here. We'll read the first verse here. In John chapter 3, verse 1, we're told, "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council." Right there in verse 1, we are given a lot of information about Nicodemus. John, the gospel writer, wants us to know that this man, Nicodemus, was very, very religious. First off, his name Nicodemus means victor over the people. The name Nicodemus comes from the root word Nike, who was a Greek goddess of victory. By the way, those of you listening, most of you probably own this Greek goddess's clothing apparel called Nike. That's where Nike got its name. Well, our friend Mr. Nike, or Mr. Nicodemus, wasn't just somebody who wore the swoosh on his tennis shoes. No, Mr. Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee, we're told. Now, the Pharisees were very, very religious in that they were very zealous for the Old Testament law and the oral traditions that had been passed down to them over the centuries. The Pharisees were the keepers of the law, unlike the Sadducees, who were another large religious group during the time of Jesus. The Sadducees were the liberals. The Pharisees were the legalists. They were very strict, very, very strong when it came to their respect for the Old Testament law. The problem was they didn't keep it. They forced others to try to keep it, but the Pharisees didn't. But nevertheless, our friend Nicodemus was a Pharisee. So when we read that, we know automatically this was a guy, unlike the Sadducees, this was a guy who took the Old Testament very, very seriously, respected it. He also, we're told at the end of verse 1, was a member of the Jewish ruling council, which tells us he was a member of the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin was basically the Jewish board, I guess, of directors, religious board of directors that enforced biblical law in Israel. Under the, they were under the authority of the Romans, obviously. But nevertheless, the Romans gave the Sanhedrin the freedom to enforce Jewish biblical law there in Israel. So our friend Nicodemus was not simply a Pharisee who was very zealous for the Old Testament. He was also a member of the Sanhedrin. 70 men plus one, the high priest, comprised this elite group of religious leaders in Israel. So again, our friend Nicodemus was very, very religious. And then we see here in verse 2, he came to Jesus at night. Why did he come at night? Some people say that was figurative of his spiritual darkness. He came at night, figuratively showing that he was a man who was lost and needed to be found. He came to Jesus at night. Others say he came at night because he was ashamed to be seen with Jesus during the day, because again, our friend Mr. Nike, Mr. Nicodemus, was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was part of the religious elite there in Israel. He didn't want to ruin his reputation by being seen with Jesus during the day. Some say that's why he came at night. But others say that he came at night because he was just simply being very respectful to Jesus. We know that just before that, Jesus had been with a large crowd there in Jerusalem during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, where he performed all kinds of signs. And it says that people believed in him, even though Jesus didn't believe in them. He knew that their faith was very shallow. He knew that their faith was based on the signs he performed, not based upon who Jesus really was, the Savior. But so there was a large crowd there in Jerusalem, and some believe, and I agree with this, that maybe Nicodemus came at night out of respect to Jesus because he didn't really want to interrupt Jesus during the day when he was so busy with all the crowds there in Jerusalem. But whatever the reason, why he came at night, we know that he did come at night. And we're told that what he had called Jesus, he called him Rabbi. He said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who's come from God." That's a pretty complimentary statement, isn't it? And it's even more complimentary when you understand what Nicodemus called Jesus. He called him Rabbi. Rabbi literally means master. It was an honorary title, a title of honor and respect for a teacher. Now, you may say, well, what's the big deal? He called Jesus rabbi. Well, you need to know something about Nicodemus. Here in chapter 3, verse 10, Nicodemus is described by Jesus as Israel's teacher, the teacher in Israel, the rabbi in Israel. Our friend Nicodemus wasn't simply very religious in that he was a Pharisee. He wasn't simply very religious in that he was on the Sanhedrin. He was the teacher in Israel, the rabbi in Israel. And we believe he was probably pretty old because in verse 4, when he had asked Jesus, how can a person be born again once he's old? That gives us an indication that our friend Nicodemus was pretty old at this time, which tells us that he had spent many, 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 many years studying to be a Pharisee. He had spent many years studying the Old Testament. He had spent many years following the oral traditions of the Jewish people. He had spent many, many years working his way to the top to be part of the religious elite there in Jerusalem. So for him to not only come at night showing respect to Jesus, for him to come at night and call Jesus rabbi, he was basically saying to Jesus, well, I'm putting you equal with me in terms of that title, that honorary title, which makes it interesting because we know in John chapter 7 that the religious people, the Pharisees, were impressed with the way Jesus taught, even though they knew he had no formal religious education like they did. So again, for our friend Nicodemus to call Jesus rabbi, boy, this was a huge statement. And it was also a very respectful statement. So we see about our friend Nicodemus that he not only was very religious, he was also very, very respectful. He even said to Jesus, he goes, no one can perform the signs that you're doing if God were not with him, which means that Nicodemus was probably part of that large crowd who saw all the signs Jesus was performing there in Jerusalem during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Nicodemus wasn't a true believer in Jesus, but he at least believed in the signs Jesus did. And he complimented Jesus and said, you are a teacher from God, for no one could perform these signs if he had not come from God. So again, our friend Nicodemus, who had come at night to meet with Jesus, he was very respectful to Jesus. He didn't barge in on him. He didn't start attacking him verbally. He didn't look down on Jesus and say, wait a second, I'm Israel's teacher. Who do you think you are? He was very, very religious and very, very respectful. But as we're going to see after the break in verse 3, according to Jesus, Nicodemus, in the way he was trying to get to heaven, was very, very wrong. Let's talk more about that after the break.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
Welcome back, everybody, to Hot Topics, where today we're talking about this really hot topic. When Jesus said in John chapter 3 to a man by the name of Nicodemus, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. What in the world did Jesus mean? And why is it that that's such a controversial statement today? Well, if you're with us on the beginning of the show, we were taking a look at John chapter 3. We've taken a look at the first two verses, and we kind of were trying to understand the context, setting this up so we would understand why Jesus made this statement to Nicodemus, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Well, we learned two really important things about our friend Nicodemus. First of all, we learned what his name meant. It meant victor over the people. We know that his name came from the root of famous Greek goddess of victory. Her name was Nike. Yes, that's where modern day Nike, the great clothing apparel, the great swoosh symbol, that's where they get their name. So our friend Nicodemus, or in other words, Mr. Nike, we found out two things about him. We found out, number one, that he was very, very religious. He was a Pharisee. He was a member of the ruling religious elite there in Israel called the Sanhedrin. We know that he was an older man, and he was also the teacher there in Israel. Mr. Nicodemus was very, very religious. We also learned that he was very, very respectful. He came to Jesus at night, possibly not wanting to bother Jesus during the day, get in his way, because there were large crowds around Jesus there in Jerusalem during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We know he was very respectful in how he addressed Jesus. He called him Rabbi, which literally means master, a title of honor and respect for a teacher. This would have been extremely, extremely respectful coming from Nicodemus, for he was the teacher in Israel. And also, he knew, as other religious leaders there knew, Jesus, although was a phenomenal teacher in their eyes, they all knew he didn't have the formal religious education that they did, at least from a human standpoint. What they didn't realize is he is God, the second person of the Trinity, who needed no earthly religious education. He is the Word who has existed before all eternity, okay, for all time. So our friend Nicodemus, I tell you, he's one of those guys that very religious, very respectful, believed in Jesus and even said, hey, you are a phenomenal teacher, Rabbi. No one could do the things you're doing, perform the signs you're doing, had he not come from God. So he knew there was something special about Jesus. Again, Nicodemus did not come to Jesus at night to try to pick a fight with him or an argument with him. Nicodemus didn't try to look down on Jesus and say, look, I am the teacher in Israel. Who do you think you are, Jesus? No, Nicodemus was a very, very respectful man in front of Jesus. But then we get to verse 3, and Jesus basically slams Nicodemus, right? After Nicodemus compliments Jesus in verse 2, Jesus in verse 3 replies, not with a thank you, not with, hey, I really appreciate the nice things you're saying about me. No, Jesus cuts right to the chase. He read Nicodemus like a book. And that's why in verse 3, Jesus says to him, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Bam! There's your phrase right there, straight from the lips of Jesus Christ. Now again, this statement here in verse 3 would have rocked Nicodemus's world. What Jesus was saying here, first of all, by saying very truly, what he was saying in the Greek was amen, amen. That's literally what he is saying in the Greek. Amen, amen. What I'm about to tell you, Mr. Nicodemus, super religious man, super respectful man, the teacher in Israel, an older gentleman, a wise gentleman, a man who has followed the Old Testament, all the oral traditions. Amen, amen, what I'm about to tell you. What was Jesus about to tell him? No one can see or enter the kingdom of God, God's eternal, holy kingdom, eternal life, heaven, life with God. No one, Jesus said, can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born again. In the Greek, I think the better translation is born from above. In other words, what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus was this: all of your wonderful religiosity, all of your phenomenal respectfulness, Nicodemus, throw it out the window. It cannot get you to enter the kingdom of God. You've got to be born again. Whoa. Can you imagine this poor man, Nicodemus? He compliments Jesus, says nice things about him. Again, Nicodemus wasn't some homeless man off the street here. We're talking about the elite of the elite in terms of the religious people there in Israel. And Jesus read Nicodemus like a book and shattered Nicodemus's entire life, his life of religion, his life of respect. Jesus said, Nicodemus, amen, amen, I tell you, all that you've been doing in order to try to earn your way into heaven, Nicodemus, it's garbage. you cannot enter the kingdom of God based upon being very religious and very respectful. Boom. What Jesus was saying is, good works don't work. Now, he wasn't criticizing Nicodemus for being religious. He wasn't criticizing Nicodemus for being respectful. It's good for us to be religious. It's good for us to be respectful. But we cannot try to use those external things that we do through our own efforts to try to make our way into heaven, because we won't make it. That's what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. And again, I mean, what a great example of Jesus himself saying that good works don't work. And again, Jesus was not against good works. But you don't do these good works like Nicodemus was doing in a way to try to earn your salvation. You do these good works out of gratitude for the free gift of salvation once you're born again. See, Nicodemus had it backwards. Although he was the elite of the elite in terms of the religious establishment there, Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, it's not good enough. Although Nicodemus was a very respectful man and respected man, Jesus was saying to him, amen, amen, I tell you, it's not good enough. This would have shattered Nicodemus, a man who spent his whole life, and remember, he's an old man at this time, a man who spent his whole life trying to do what was right in God's sight, thinking that he could somehow please God and eventually, maybe through his own efforts, get into the kingdom of God. And there was Jesus saying to him, not a chance. You've got to start all over, Nicodemus. You have to be born again. And what did Jesus mean about being born again? Well, he wasn't talking about getting some sort of freaky religious disease. Like I thought, if you were with me on the first part of the show, that girl that I had taken out for dinner one night, when she said to me she was a born again Christian, I thought, oh gosh, I'm going to get some disease from her, right? No, that's not what Jesus was saying. Here's what he meant. We all come into this world physically alive, but spiritually dead to God. That's because we inherited a sin nature from Adam and Eve, which causes us to be disconnected from God, dead to God, dead to God in God's realm. God is a spirit being, and we come into this world alive in the physical realm, but we're dead to God, dead in the spiritual realm. So physically, we experience our first birth. We are born physically when we come into this world. Now, isn't it interesting? Did you have anything to do with your physical birth? Yes or no? No. Did you give any efforts when it came to your physical birth? Yes or no? No. You just were born physically, right? Well, we know that that physical birth does not get us into heaven. In fact, we come into this world born physically, but also internally we have a sin nature that not only causes us to be dead to God, disconnected from God, it causes us to be under the judgment of God, because the penalty for sin is eternal damnation. So here we are born into this world physically, we're dead to God spiritually, and we're on a highway to hell eternally. And there's nothing we can do to get our way out from under that. Again, Jesus made it very clear, good works don't work. I think it's fair to say that none of us were as religious as our friend Nicodemus was. And in terms of being respectful, this guy was at the top. And yet Jesus said, no, it's not good enough. Well, how much more is that the case for people like us? So how is it a person can enter the kingdom of God? Jesus makes it very clear. You must be born again. What did he mean by that? You had to be born this time in the spiritual realm. You had to be made alive, alive to God. Well, how does that happen? You have to be born from above, as John the Gospel writer says in chapter 1, verse 13. Born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, you have to be born of God. This is a gift of God. This is when the Holy Spirit regenerates you. This is when the Holy Spirit makes you alive. This is all of God who does this. You have nothing. Again, think about it. What did you have to do with your physical birth? Nothing. What do you have to do with your spiritual birth? Nothing. You have to first be born again, born from above. This is when the Holy Spirit regenerates you. You're given a new beginning, a new Genesis. You're born again, but not born again in the physical realm. You're born again. This time you're born in the spiritual realm. You're made alive to God. That is the work of God, where literally the Holy Spirit changes your inner disposition, changes your nature, changes your desires, changes your will, gives you the gift of faith so you can repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in Jesus alone. But you can't confess your sins and repent, and you can't place your faith and trust in Jesus before you're first born again. Repentance and faith do not precede being born again. You first have to be born again, then you're able to repent and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So that is what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus here. Nicodemus, it's great, you're very religious. But Nicodemus, amen, amen, it's worthless. It won't get you into heaven. Nicodemus, it's great that you're very respectful. But I'm telling you, Nicodemus, amen, amen, it will not get you into heaven. You must be born again. This is the work of God. It is the gift of God. It is the grace of God. And it's all for the glory of God. It's not about human achievement. It's about divine accomplishment. It's not based on human effort. It's based on God's grace. That's what it means to be born again. It literally means to be made alive in God's realm, the spiritual realm. You are born from above. Again, think about it. You did nothing to contribute to your physical birth. You can do nothing to contribute to your spiritual birth. So here in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, when Jesus makes that statement to Nicodemus, you must be born again, he shatters all efforts, human efforts, to try to earn salvation. It is based upon God and God alone. Next show, we're going to see part 2 of this. When Nicodemus asks the question, how can someone be born again? We'll see that on our next show.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.